Hey guys, this is Brett. We're about to get started on the first episode of Best Episode Ever. But first, one simple request. In order to support our show, we need the help of advertisers. But to get advertisers, they need to know who you, the listener, are. So please go to podsurvey.com/best, as in best episode ever, and take a quick anonymous survey that will help us get to know you a little bit better. Then the advertisers can get to know us a little bit better. They sell you cool stuff. They give us cool money. It's all great. Plus, once you've completed the survey, here's the best part. You can win a $100 Amazon gift card. You can buy toothpaste. You can buy a Nintendo Switch. You can buy dog clothes. Whatever. It's Amazon. They got it all. Once again, that's podsurvey.com, podsurvey.com/best, B-E-S-T, to get a $100 Amazon gift card if you win that raffle and help us help you. Thank you so much. On to the show. In November 1993, David Crane and Marta Kaufman began developing a new sitcom about 20-somethings in Manhattan under the title Insomnia Cafe.
A 7-page treatment was pitched to NBC, and the title was changed multiple times from Six of One to Friends Like Us, and finally, just Friends.
Six actors were cast for the leads at a rate of $22,500 an episode, and by the final two seasons, the Friends gang were making $1 million per episode.
After 10 seasons, 236 episodes, 62 Emmy nominations, a monkey, a duck, a rooster, and a ceramic dog, Friends was without a doubt one of the most popular television shows of all time, and arguably one of the last totems of late 90s monoculture. Today, we're going to figure out its best episode ever.
Worst episode ever.
Ah, blur!
Oh, I'm in the game, yo.
Yeah, bitch! Magnets!
Good news, everyone!
We have to go back!
So say we all!
Oh my God! My eyes!
Hi there, welcome to Best Episode Ever. I am Brett Rader.
And I am Carmen Angelica.
I am an audio producer at Cracked.
And I'm a writer at Cracked.
And we're joined by the lovely Katie Willer.
Yay!
Hi, everybody.
Of After Hours on Cracked, of plenty of videos on Cracked.
A lot of videos over the years, yes.
My former almost college roommate.
This is true.
We played brother and sister together on a stage play that involved a lot of crying.
What? Yeah, he played my brother who had, like, PTSD after being an embedded reporter in Afghanistan.
But I was also a ghost.
Kind of. It was like a flashback.
But we're talking about people's heads getting stuck in turkeys today.
Yay!
We're talking about Friends.
Oh,
we're trying to figure out the best episode ever. Katie, we brought you in specifically. You love Friends.
I love Friends. I watch Friends in a never-ending loop. I literally just watch the series all the way through. I have it on in the background of most of my days. It calms me down. I'll watch it when I go to bed.
Does Netflix recommend anything else to you? Or at this point, does it like just show you the thumbnail for Friends and just
says, it shows me the great thumbnail, because it used to be the normal where everybody's in like nice like gowns and tuxes and walking or whatever, but they changed the thumbnail and now it's Ross in the Frankie Say Relax shirt.
No.
You have the women. I have the one with
Chandler being like.
Wait, how come everybody gets different thumbnails?
They change up thumbnails.
They know. They change the thumbnails. Netflix changes the thumbnails based on what you like or what they think you like.
They do that with descriptions as well.
I get the Ross as well, and I wonder why.
So other people get that.
There's three women.
Yeah, I have one with Chandler, like, pointing at something and probably saying something sarcastic if I know Chandler.
Could this be anymore Netflix?
Yeah, my best friend told me that she was like, I want to see what your, I think it was No Country for Old Men. She's like, I want to see what your Netflix description is for this movie. Because
mine's Woody Harrelson. No, it's not.
No, not the thumbnail. The description.
Oh, the description.
The one of them is super dumbed down, and the other one is like what the movie is. Like, actually, yeah.
A cowboy, a bag of money.
Wow.
I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, this is going to trip me up. I'm going to look at everybody else's Netflix now.
Yeah.
Send us which Friends thumbnail you have on Netflix.
Yeah, that's a fun way to engage.
If you've never heard of Friends, it's available on Netflix. Watch all 236 episodes and then come back to this
podcast.
Well,
they're not the full episodes, too. That's the thing that bothers
what?
Me. I have Friends on the whole series on DVD, which is what I watched over and over again before it came on Netflix. Now I just watch it on Netflix. But Netflix cuts. They'll trim the ends of scenes into, like, transitions into other scenes. So sometimes there will be, like, a joke or a little thing that they've just cut out. And I know the pacing so well from the DVDs that I can hear I know that there's a joke missing.
On this show, we are going to each week find a new series and try and figure out its best episode ever. Mm-hmm. We're going to make that distinction by the end of the show. We're going to give out some awards at the top. We're going to talk about what makes each show good, what makes a great episode of each show. But I think first and foremost, what we need to do, as you should for any discussion about Friends. Katie, what friend are you?
Oh, okay. So I was thinking about this. I think I'm neurotic enough to be Monica, but I'm not evil, which she is sometimes. She's really, she's one of the worst of the people. Especially the episode where they're trying to, their adoption, like, profile gets picked by Anna Faris, and they go and she mistakes them for, like, a doctor and a reverend, and Monica, like, leans into lying to get a baby.
Yeah.
Which we talked about on that episode of the Friends episode of After Hours, which I wrote. But I'm as neurotic as she is, and about, like, how I like things a certain way and make the bed a certain way. Like, my boyfriend's getting ready to move in with me, and he is acutely aware that I am very particular about my space, so he's trying his best to, like, be very open to, like, I think there's, like, an episode where Richard doesn't know how to make the bed, and she's like, you have to put the flowers on the comforter facing up towards the top of the bed because that's where the sun is. Like, it's that sort of, like, weird logic.
I love it.
So I identify with that.
I think you can say that you're someone and exclude the parts that are clearly not you, like evil, like being, you know, the evil bits. You can leave those out.
I also feel I'm part Rachel, only because I think she, like, kind of, she figured it out.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, she figured out how to be a grown-up in a way that works for her. And, like, that's – I really like her arc during the series of, like, she's able to support herself and she's found her thing that she loves. And she's, like, making those decisions that she couldn't make before.
I would also say, knowing you, you're very fashion. So I could
– I'm very fashion.
I feel like you're very fashion. You're very fashion. And so is Rachel. And so it just kind of makes sense.
You're very sweet.
Well – I'm just saying.
Carmen, what friend are you?
Oh, man. okay. I would say that I'm probably more of a – I had like a real self. I think I'm a mixture of actually Rachel and Chandler.
You're a little Chandler.
I'm like little bit Chandler-y. I make a lot of jokes and sometimes to the point where like nobody's laughing and I just like keep making them because I'm scared. And then – also, I think Rachel, because, like, in a similar situation, I feel like she kind of fell into different things that ended up leading her into the right direction, and that's just kind of what, I always just kind of fall into things, and then I'm like, oh, I like this.
Not to mention, you're very fashion.
Much
fashion. She's wearing a really, really cute pair of overalls. Rachel wears overalls in the series. I'm almost positive.
Then I guess I'm pretty Rachel.
You are so Rachel! What about you, Brett?
Yeah, I want to know.
Now, this is tough for guys because I don't think I've had this conversation many times. I don't think you can ever come across a man who will admit to being a Joey or a Ross.
Right.
Listen, this is theater, all right? People are broad characters on the show, and in life we're all a rich tapestry of different things. We're all a little bit somebody else. I am myself all three of the leading men, but I'm probably a Chandler.
Yeah,
I see that. Yeah, I definitely see some Chandler.
I can see how I'm a bit of a Ross as well.
Yeah,
and a bit of a Joey.
But see, the thing about Joey that I think people forget, someone had written like a tweet series about why they thought that Joey and Rachel should have ended up together. Mm-hmm. And it's actually thoughts. Like, it makes it really, Joey is very, very problematic. He is. But the reasons that they made about him and his support of Rachel, I'm like, whoa. Yeah, I never really thought of, everybody hated on that coupling, but I thought it was great.
I mean, it definitely was something like that happens in the 9th season of a show where it's like, who hasn't fucked yet?
Let's put two and two together.
All right, we're running out of combinations.
But also their whole thing was they like really couldn't, because like,
I think
I felt it too. Like during that writing, they were like, okay, we're going to couple them up. And then everybody was like, it feels weird.
Yeah, before they did it, which I thought was great. Yeah,
I want to. Fun. Politely and respectfully, politely is not right.
I know, I was like, wait, hold on.
I want to politely and respectfully challenge that Joey is problematic. Listen, this show is very problematic, and maybe we'll make that our first award of the day. We're going to talk about the most problematic episode. I think Joey is the secret heart of Friends.
Yeah.
He is a womanizer. He likes having a female partner every night, and he has many of them, but, and you know a lot more than me, he seems to be very respectful of boundaries. A lot of times when a woman's like, you know, I want to leave, or I don't want to be here anymore, he's like, all right, okay, see you later.
Right.
Like, he's never... He's a ladies' man, but he's never forcing women to do anything.
That
and then
is,
we have that moment, that episode. It's the episode with Ross, the one with Ross's tan is what it's called. And there's this sequence with him and Rachel, like it's the night that they're gonna have sex finally, and they just can't do it. And the episode ends on a beautiful note where they're both a little sad and dejected, and then he just says, "I love you."
Right.
Just as a friend.
And that, well, I also love that is like, well, why didn't it work? Why didn't this happen with Chandler and Monica? And he goes, well, I guess they just weren't as good of friends as we are, which I thought was very sweet. But yeah, that's the thing is like, he fucks a lot of women and he doesn't know, you know, people's names and doesn't remember women's names or whatever. Like, he tries to have sex with a woman and then he realizes that he recognized the apartment and he's mad that she doesn't remember that they slept together, but then it turns out he slept with a roommate. all of that is terrible. But, like, he loves his sisters. He, like, is fiercely protective of, like, them. So, yeah, I agree that he's like, a sweet dude. Like, the episode where he finds out that his dad's cheating on his mom is actually, like, really, really kind of heartbreaking for Joey.
Because he definitely was like, how could you do that? He was like, if I'm going to settle down, I will be faithful. Like, that's his thing.
Yeah.
He's like, if I'm going to settle down, I will be. And he also even like, I think some of the things that he says are like, they're complex.
Yeah, it's complex. They're all complex individuals.
All right.
Do we want to talk about problematic? There are some others.
Oh, boy, yes.
Which episode do you think is the most problematic?
So the one that I put as problematic is the one with the rumor, which is the Thanksgiving episode where Brad Pitt shows up. There's a lot of really shitty talk about fat people in that because both Will and Monica used to be fat. But there's a lot in it that's really shitty, right? They started a rumor that Rachel was
a hermaphrodite.
It was a hermaphrodite. And that they told everybody in the school and they call it a teeny weeny. And you told them I was half and half. And it's a lot of like really things.
Yeah.
But then also another part of this that is really terrible is that Ross was... Essentially, he was underage and was making out with the adult woman librarian.
He was molested.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot that's really bad in that episode. Like, really, really crappy in that episode.
Yeah.
There's a lot with this whole show that is. I mean, this show is sort of the borderline, the bridge between 90s monoculture and the absolute just shattering of all cultures in the mid-2000s and where no show. The finale of the show was watched by 52 million people, something around there. And now, like, the finale of, you know, Breaking Bad, or, I mean, let's say Scandal. Scandal is a huge network show, right, that everyone gets in every household. It's not even going to come close to it.
Right.
You know, so...
Yeah, well, the thing is, like, with episodes with gay panic in it, which is very, very prevalent in this show, you'll be like, well, those were the episodes from the 90s. And you see an episode and you're like, that episode was in 2004, where they have a gay panic joke.
Yeah. Yep. iPods existed.
Yeah. iPods did exist.
Yep.
That was the episode that I had chosen, but there are a couple of them.
And we'll talk. I'm sure we'll all
touch on the problematic.
Carmen, did you have one?
I brought in what I felt was... And I agree with you. There was like so in your case with the one that you mentioned, it was like many different things that were touched upon. And I feel like mine really only touches on one thing, which is like with the one with Chandler's dad, which is like full of gay panic and transphobia.
Yeah.
And like the whole like all of the laugh jokes are that his dad or his mom, but he only refers to his mom as
his dad.
You know, and like this, the way that it's all treated as like this, like, and he, you know, when he was little, he was only being supported by.
There, and they point, I think Monica points that out in one of those earlier episodes where he talks about his dad. Is he was like, he showed up to my swim meet dressed as Carmen Miranda, and at the end, he gave everyone a snack from his headdress. And Monica was like, he was at your fucking swim meet.
Yeah.
Like, is that not being a good parent? I mean, both of them were not great in that they like, fought over the pool boy and did all that stuff in front of him.
Yeah.
But, like, inherently, his parents aren't evil people.
Yeah.
And his dad was never evil.
Yeah. And his main issue was just that. His dad right. you know, was trans.
Yeah. 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 I mean, the way Chandler's father, biological father, is treated throughout the show is pretty bad. The episode I wanted to bring up was the one with Rachel's assistant. The subplot of that episode is Monica and Chandler start revealing secrets to the other friends as sort of like a one-upsmanship.
Right.
And about halfway through, Monica's like, well, Chandler kissed a guy once. Mm-hmm. And that is now the punchline for the rest of the
episode.
Whatever,
dude, you kissed a guy.
Anytime anything happens, it just goes back to, well, you kissed a guy once.
In my defense, it was a very pretty guy.
Mm.
Yeah, it was at a bar where the light was low and he thought it was a lady and then kissed him.
So, yeah, the friends, if you go back and rewatch it, not great for treatment. Usually it's pretty like homophobic in terms of like gay male sexuality or great gay male friendships. Or straight male friendships.
Yeah, that they can't, that Joey and Ross can't nap together without it being shamed. Yeah. That Chandler and Joey can't hug without going
feeling weird, yeah.
Doing a weird, like, yeah. And then, like, being, like, shaking hands. Really,
or even, like, they'll say, like, okay, we just did that, so now we gotta do something manly. Like, they'll literally be like, okay, I finished plucking your rose, now we gotta go, like, play, was it foosball?
Yeah. Yeah. Even in the one with Ross's tan, the one we brought up earlier with that really nice Joey and Rachel moment at the beginning of the episode, there's a scene where Joey's like given his moves of like, oh, this is how I'm going to get Rachel. He like slides his hand up the Chandler's thigh. Like... Yeah. And Chandler really likes it. And then like a beer commercial from the 70s, they're like, oh, let's go just have some chicken wings or watch a football game, yeah. Or, you know. So it's just like some cheap punchlines about that stuff. But it is a little weird that there's not – it's not just like, oh, okay, one episode has that. A lot of episodes have that as the butt of the joke.
You brought up the one with Ross's tan, which is mm-hmm. problematic to me for a whole other reason, which is that Ross is in blackface that for the majority of that episode.
Yes.
You can do a duet of Ebony and Ivory is a thing that Chandler actually says to him.
Yeah.
And there's a point where he was like going to get this fake tan and he asks the guy the guy goes, what color do you want to be? And he was like, well, I like you, what you are. What's your color? And he was like, I'm Puerto Rican, which is like, I'm just like, oh God.
Yeah.
And then Ross, because he's an idiot and can't follow directions, gets sprayed like I think 4 times in the face with the spray tan. Yeah,
he has 4 twos.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm 2 twos. I'm an 8. Yeah. I think at one point he gets to be an 8.
And this is from the first season? Oh, no. It's from the final season of Friends.
Yep, yep, yep. And Aaron Mallory Long and I realized at one point that during that period of time, he's dating Charlie, played by Aisha Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
So she's dating a man who is, for the foreseeable future, 2 to 3 weeks or however long it takes for the tan, your skin to flake off and the tan to go away. She is dating a man in blackface.
Oof. Yay. Which friend are you?
Still, I mean,
I'm the duck.
I wrote that line in the episode of After Hours because it's like, this show is so messed up, but I don't know. When I watched it and fell in love with it, as a child, I didn't understand these things. And now as an adult with a critical thinking brain, I can be like, this is not great.
Yeah.
But best episode ever. This podcast is a celebration of these television shows.
We're going to move past that.
Problematic stuff.
Yeah.
Another category we have is what's the best Ross and Rachel episode?
Ooh. Ah. All right.
The central romance of the show. I guess, maybe,
yeah.
If you think so.
Yeah.
I think it's
the one everybody's always talking about, Ross and Rachel. So I feel like we had to touch on that. But if you really feel like bringing out a Chandler and Monica or whatever.
No, who cares?
You know.
Who cares about those nerds and their wedding?
I love them.
So Ross and Rachel, a lot of people probably would say the episode where they get back together and then they break up after he reads the letter and she's asking him to be whatever. But my favorite Ross and Rachel episode is the one where Monica sings. One of the storylines is that Monica goes to sing at Mike's karaoke bar. But the reason why I like it as a Ross and Rachel episode is because Rachel kind of just takes a lot of Ross's crap when they're mm-hmm. together. Even when they're apart, he's really, really awful to her and she kind of just takes it.
Yeah.
And this is the episode where she kisses
Dermot Mulroney.
Dermot Mulroney on the patio. Mm. And Ross sees, and then he blows up at her about how it's, you know, you didn't tell me that you were dating, blah, 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 blah. You kissed him on the balcony, and she was like, that was one time. And he was like, well, what about the note? What about the guy's number? And she goes, what number? And he goes, the guy from the bar. And she was like, how did you know about that? And he was like, he called here asking for you, so don't act like you're like, and he's really trying to shame her. And she was like, why didn't I get that message?
Yeah.
Like, why didn't I get that phone message? And he said, because I folded it up and I put it in my pocket. And she said, you can't do, she stood up for herself. She was like, you can't do that.
Get a cell phone, Rachel.
But she was like, this doesn't work. We said we'd live together for as long as this works and it doesn't work. And she was able to be like, hey, you're the father of my child. And like, I would like us to have a relationship in that way. But the way it is now is not healthy. Mm-hmm. And it's not healthy for me to be here or for our child to be here. And she leaves and she goes and moves back in with Joey. And the episode after that, they like, Ross comes in and they make a joke like, oh, Joey, you have pants on, because he forgot to put on pants because he's now living with other people. And everything's cool between Rachel and Ross. Like, she put up a boundary and he respected her boundary for the first time. And so for me, that's like, it's not the most exciting
but it's
Ross
a
and Rachel
moment.
Thing. Yeah, but it's like, oh, you guys are adults and that she's not going to put up with it, you know, won't put up with this crap. So that's my favorite Ross Rachel episode.
I like that a lot.
Thank you.
I think people forget about it's not always like the big romantic smooch moments.
Well, yeah, because they're not a good couple.
Yes. What do you think, Armin?
I chose a big romantic smooch moment.
Yay!
I said that I personally like the one with the prom video. I know there are issues with it as our most.
Oh yeah.
But for some reason, it was like really. It was interesting because they always talked about this old flame that he had for her.
Right.
And then when you see it and like this nice stuff that he wanted to like, he just wanted to go to prom with her. And like that still touched her to this day. It always gets me because I'm like, oh, yeah, like they did like it was like a long term old flame.
Right. But I think the problem that I have with it is that he never acted on it.
Yeah.
And yet expected her to like. Take that at face value. Like, I've loved you for all these years. And she was like, okay, but like, you never made a move. And that also was in the beginning of their relationship, like when they first got together, is he liked her for so long and never said anything.
Yeah.
And she was like, well, I can't not date other people if I don't know that if you don't
exactly.
make a move.
He had expectations that were like unrealistic.
Right.
Come on, guys.
Which, friend zone. We talked about that, which, I mean, that kind
which was named
forward.
After this show.
Yeah.
The friend zone. It was actually a cafe in New York you could go to and just live with friend all zone. The friends' memorabilia.
I want
to
know what was your best Ross and Rachel?
The one in Vegas, part two, baby, because Ross and Rachel shouldn't be together. Ross and Rachel suck. Why do they want to be together?
She is
beautiful, a career businesswoman in very fashion. She's very fashion. She's in the fashion industry. She can get any guy she wants. Why this mopey little weird dinosaur boy? The only time Ross and Rachel work is when they are drunk beyond belief and accidentally get married to each other because they are so drunk.
Hello, Mrs. Bride. Hello, Mr. Rachel.
I love that.
By the way, I watched that episode yesterday. That is not the behavior of drunk people. Those two characters locked up in a hotel room in Caesar's Palace are on MDMA. They are.
Interesting. They,
Joey comes up and like they're locked up. They're in the hotel room because Ross drew with a Sharpie on Rachel's face on the airplane. And she can't get it off and she's too embarrassed to walk down in the casino. So they stay up in the room and get drunk. And Joey comes up and they're like, Joey, I love you. Whoa, it's so great that you're here. Wow.
And they were like touching his coat a lot, which is like, I feel like a very big signifier
that
of just
that episode is secretly about the horrors and joys
of MDMA.
Of Molly, the seventh friend.
So that's an interesting episode in terms of Joey and boundaries is he turns to Rachel and he goes, how you doing? And she goes, I'm good, baby. How you doing? And he was like, don't let her go. And like,
see,
he's because he was like, she's okay. If she's willing to like come back at me, she's too drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You need to make sure she's safe and okay.
And then Ross married her.
Yeah.
Not to mention some great guest stars in that episode. Thomas Lennon.
I love that. I will chop off my hand and give it to you.
Hugh Laurie, Dr. House in the house. Yeah.
He was great.
Wait, wasn't Hugh Laurie? No, Hugh Laurie was in the flight to London.
Oh, no, sorry. I got that confused with the previous season finale, the one with Ross's wedding, part two. Anyways, ooh, sorry.
That was one season.
No, I think
split?
They're. Yeah, I think.
That was the two season finale. Jeez.
It was a big drama. Big dramas.
Big dramas.
Should we talk about, since we talked about it a little, the Zeitgeist, like the one that had the biggest effect on the Zeitgeist Award?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Katie, you had a really good one.
What did I write?
The one with five steaks and an eggplant.
Oh, well, this is kind of, I misunderstood Zeitgeisty.
No, the answer to your question, your interpretation is the right answer.
So, five steaks and an eggplant, I said was Zeitgeisty in the like very, very 90s because it centers around going to a Hootie and the Blowfish concert.
I didn't know where to start for this episode, and you sent your list, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to check this episode out. It's a season two, very early in the show. I'm going to check it out, see what she means by that. And yeah, the entire second half of the episode is like, will they go to the Hootie and the Blowfish concert?
So it's very 90s.
Monica made out with a blowfish?
She got a hickey from a blowfish. But the other thing that I think with five steaks and an eggplant in terms of today, it's zeitgeisty to me in the way for today, mm-hmm. for this climate. It tackles something in a sitcom which I've never seen before. The whole thing is that Ross, Chandler, and Monica all have full-time jobs and make more money than Rachel, Joey, and Phoebe. Mm-hmm. And it's the thing of, in a group of friends, one group, the group that makes more money, wants to do all of these things that cost money. And the people who don't make as much money can't responsibly do that. And that, like, I've never seen that in it. And I watched that episode and I'm like, yeah. And that they get in a fight where it's like, it just makes us feel like we can't afford to do that. And the people who make more money are like, well, it's not our fault that you don't make more money. Yeah. And it's like, well, that's not a fair thing to say to us. Like,
yeah, but I've been on both ends of that where I remember being like in a situation where I just couldn't afford anything that people were asking me to do. And then I've been on the other end, and you remember, like, if the people who are making money, maybe some people have never been in that situation where they haven't had the money. But it is like, I love that they were like, no, we're not going to take your tickets. We feel bad.
Yeah, it makes us feel this big. Like, this
yeah,
big.
This big. Mm. And then Phoebe. Oh, no, it makes us feel this big.
Yeah. And I just think the title's really funny, too, because Monica gets steaks is a gift from a new meat supplier, and so that she decides to make dinner at home instead of going out to the restaurant, and then they have one eggplant for Phoebe. Yeah. And then Monica ends up getting fired because of it.
Well, yeah, it's actually a nice ending. It's like not the best episode ever of the show, but yeah, like the whole episode kind of builds to this crescendo where they're all having a huge fight about money with each other, and they're all just like yelling at each other in Central Perk. And then Monica gets a call. She gets a page and then that's a joke in the beginning of the episode. She gets a page and she calls and she gets fired. And then everyone's like, oh, let's all like take care of each other and be friends.
Mm-hmm. And I love that. I felt like that was maybe, because that was in what, the second season or the first
season? Yeah, second season.
I feel like that was like a perfect like, that was like maybe the best beginning moment of like this entire series where you felt like, yeah, they're going to like get into big hoopla issues and then they're just going to always be there.
Yeah. For each other.
Yeah.
Because they're there for them too.
Thought for best for most zeitgeisty episode is every episode before September 11th, 2001, because anytime they need to like show an establishing shot of just remember you're in New York, it's like, oh yes, the Twin Towers. Yep. And then that's zeitgeist for you, yo.
And then they stop right after.
Yeah, they did.
They don't even, because it happened, 9/11 happened right around when Chandler and Monica got married.
Yeah, I blame Chandler and Monica on
But no, it's like
you just
look
hate
at it,
their love.
I mean, the thing that they do is they essentially just like, I think a couple of times Joey's wearing an FDNY or an NYPD
shirt.
They don't ever mention it.
Because this will be something that we come across in many shows, you know, from that era. We'll deal with it. West Wing has a very special episode of West Wing where they like clearly wrote it in a day, and it's a bottle episode where it's just like, school children asking questions. Like there's a lockdown at the White House and there's a school going and there's like a terrorist threat. And there's like, I don't think they reference 9/11, but like it's very much
right. What happens in the oeuvre.
Everybody had to deal somehow.
And all the students are like, CJ, what would happen if a terrorist came and blew us up right now? And it's just like all the characters just saying really nice, like utopic things about
I mean, because we never had to. Right. And so then TV was like, how do we? We're talking to the people. We're talking to the math, because they were talking to the masses. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree with you. That's pretty zeitgeist.
Did you have a zeitgeist?
I did. Mine is, and we mentioned it briefly earlier, was the episode, the one with the blackout, because it used the term the friend zone for the very first time. Mm-hmm. It's not a great. I don't think it's a great contribution to the zeitgeist.
No, but the way that Joey explains it is the way that friend zone, where it's not placing the blame on the woman. It's that, like, essentially what we were saying before, like, you didn't make a move.
Yeah.
She doesn't, it's not her fault that she doesn't want to date you.
She's going to be your friend.
Right, because you have not shown any,
you haven't communicated. You haven't communicated.
Right.
And so it did, like, it was the first show to give that name, to give that word, to, and then that has truly shown up in so much TV and now has, like, been, it's,
co-opted
in a terrible way. But I think you're right. Like, if people had taken it as that of, like, communicate your feelings.
Yeah.
I actually feel like Friends was also the first show to use the term BFF.
Oh, really?
Because there's a, and I can't remember what episode it is, but I think it's Phoebe's like, BFF, and they look at her and she goes, best friends forever and every, and then the audience laughs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like nobody had heard that term before is kind of what it's not. I got to find it. Also, by the way, on the 9/11 thing is that you watch through the years, like, Chandler goes to Yemen, Janice comes to the gate, Ross goes to get Emily, goes to the gate. Then when he goes to chase after Rachel and Phoebe's with him, he has to buy tickets for both
you're talking
him
about all the,
and
the,
Phoebe to get through.
The airport dramas.
Yeah, to get through the into the gate, you have to have a ticket.
Yeah. 9/11 really did a lot for, or changed a lot for
the difference.
For the whatever we want to call that, the end of the movie when X person chases Y love interest through
the airport.
So... I think it might have been the first time. Yeah. So the dictionary states the acronym BFF originated in 1996. In a 1997 episode of Friends, Lisa Kudrow's character Phoebe Buffay uses the term. So I think it might have been one of the first times that it was used outside of like AIM.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was potentially getting everybody familiar with it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do we have any bonus categories or anything else you guys want to talk about?
Ones we made up ourselves?
Yeah.
Do you have one? Okay. I have the yummiest episode because they are big about food. They are really big about food. And I love that. Like, one of the things that I think I love the most about Friends is that there's so much food involved. And I love food. so I would have to say the yummiest episode would be the sandwich in which we learn about the moist maker, because I feel like that was like such... I don't know. I actually still have yet to make the moist maker.
Well, it's coming up. You got to...
It's coming up. Almost Thanksgiving. Well, now things are different. Now I'm a vegetarian, so I can't really make the true moist
tofurkey.
Maker. Tofurkey. I could do a good tofurkey moist
maker. Some veggie gravy.
Yeah. Put in the gravy, yeah. But essentially, it was like describing like the best post-Thanksgiving turkey sandwich, and it was worth losing your job for. It was just like, I thought that was like a brilliant, yummy episode.
Friends is great with Thanksgivings.
Yeah, their Thanksgiving episodes are always good.
Yeah.
I have to say, the trifle sounded weirdly good to me. I know that that's disgusting
because
it has meat in it, but like, I just was kind of like, well, that would be, I'd eat it, I'd try it. I actually love for yummiest, the Thanksgiving where the underdog, where they all get locked out of the apartment and then they end up making grilled cheese and tomato soup and Funyuns for Thanksgiving. That combination sounded really good, having Funyuns with grilled cheese and tomato soup.
I could see that, I'm definitely about it.
Or the bunny cake that ended up being a penis cake with Emma's face on it.
Do you have a yummy one that you can think of?
I
know this is...
just every Thanksgiving one.
Having a roast chicken sounds good.
What? Yams. You mean a turkey?
Well, no, they have to have a roast chicken...
I don't. You're the Friends expert. I don't.
Well, because
I'm just a fan.
The one where there's a roast chicken is the one where the one with the rumor, because Chandler doesn't eat Thanksgiving food. Rachel has an aversion to poultry. Phoebe's a vegetarian.
But doesn't she make an entire turkey
For Joey?
Yeah,
oh,
but they
okay.
also have a roast chicken.
Oh.
He goes, she brings it to the table, and he's like, I can eat that. And yeah, she's and like, that's Chandler's chicken. Yeah.
The button of the episode is he comes in Rachel's pregnancy pants.
To finish the turkey.
Yeah. I also love that they started that episode with like her, Phoebe bringing her the pregnancy pants, and she's like, these are so cute. And
oh,
like,
these are so cute.
And then at the end, he's wearing them. But like, I was like, when I first saw it, I was like, those are not cute. And then I see them now, and I'm like, those are so cute.
Shoplifting, you can use it to shoplift watermelons. So for me, my category that I made up was like the most technically well-written episode from like a storyline arc standpoint.
Yeah.
And for that, mine is the one with the videotape.
Yes.
Which is everybody wants to know the story of how when Ross and Rachel hooked up and she got pregnant and you find out that Ross accidentally videotaped it. But the reason why I love it is because the A, B, and C storylines are, so the A storyline is the like trying to figure out that whole thing. The B storyline is in the past, which is Joey teaching Ross this story about backpacking through the foothills of Mount Tipidabo in Spain to get women to have, it's like the story you tell when you want women to have sex with you. And then the C storyline is Monica and Chandler coming back from their honeymoon and they're being ghosted by a couple that they met on their honeymoon, and Phoebe and Joey think that's hilarious and talk about their fake names. Phoebe's is Regina Phalanges and Joey's is Ken Adams. So anyways, the reason why I think this is such a well-written episode is because they finally watch the tape at the end and they're sitting there on the videotape. They're like mailing invitations for Monica and Chandler's wedding, and there's like a pause because the whole thing is that everyone assumes that Ross came on to Rachel. But Ross is like, no, Rachel came on to me. I have proof on the tape. Mm-hmm. So they're sitting there watching the tape and there's a pause and Rachel goes, did I ever tell you about the time I was hiking through the foothills of Mount Tipidabo? And then everybody knows that it's her. She thinks nobody knows. So she's still like playing like Ross came on to her. Yeah. And they were like, no, you came on to him. And it's like, that's the magical story you tell when you want to have sex.
So that ties the first two storylines together. Mm-hmm. But wait.
There's more. And then she goes, Joey says, how do you know about this story? And she goes, I heard it from my friend Irene, who heard it from some guy. And Joey goes, some guy. And then she goes, no. She said his name was Ken Adams. And he points to himself.
Ken Adams.
And I was like,
it was beautifully put
together. I want to know, because I don't think there's a way in which, like, whatever writer was assigned that episode, like, I don't think they came to that connection organically. Like, I think that happened when they're trying to break the story in the room. Mm-hmm. And, like, what that moment, if I could have been a fly on the wall in the writer's room to, like, see everybody get to that moment where they're like, oh, what if this storyline is here and then the Ken Adams thing? Or maybe it was that they, it was just a one-off, like, random thing just because they thought it was a funny name. And then they were like, oh, maybe we can have it happen. Like, that's what happens in the end. So
I bet what happened in that writer's room, this is just me making a guess, is that when they made that connection, they had the same reaction that I as an audience member had, which was like, oh! Like, they in the room were just like, oh! And they still are always like, oh, that episode. Guys, remember Ken Adams?
When we did that, Ken Adams, yeah.
That is a good episode. I think this gets into a larger discussion that we can start talking about now. What do you think is the best episode ever? Mm. Is that your suggestion for best episode ever, Katie? Or do you have a different
No,
one?
I mean, I wrote one that's kind of boring in terms of like it's one of the most well-known episodes, which is the one with the embryos, which is when Phoebe is being implanted with her brother's babies, and they're trying to. They're having the quiz round that Ross writes to, if the women win, the guys get rid of the rooster, the men win, they give up their apartment. And I just think that the whole point of them, like, all of them just answering these questions about each other, and you learn so much about each of the characters without anything actually having to happen just by details of them.
It is joyous watching them do that quiz.
Yeah.
I like that episode. It is really great because anytime they cut to them doing this quiz with the five of them less Phoebe, it's like incredible. It's so funny. I don't know. I feel like, you know, we can talk about what makes a great episode
of Friends. Like, I want all the Friends being involved, and it feels like Phoebe's kind of just, she's just in this hospital set with Giovanni Ribisi. Mm-hmm. Just like, she's doing Phoebe and jokes and stuff. Yeah. I don't even know who that
was. She's the mom from that 70s show.
But I don't know. I feel like she's kind of relegated to, like, doing less. And I mean, that happens on any show where, like,
I think it's hard. They're always going to have a B story. They always have to. Yeah, I mean, that was very classic. Be there. Classic TV. It was very classic TV. Yeah. Now things are changing.
It was good, though. It was a really good one. Which, what do you think is your best, your favorite
okay.
one?
Okay. I know there are issues with this, but I'm just going to have to say, I think the one with all the kissing. because I know he shouldn't have kissed all these women, but at the end they did say, "Hey, Chandler, stop kissing us," which was, I believe this was season five, and he did, but it was him trying to cover up the fact that Chandler and Monica had started dating in secret and they didn't want anybody to know. But every time he would say goodbye, he'd give her a kiss. And then he had to pretend like, oh, that was like his new normal thing. And then he'd have to kiss all of the women. and I, you know, and at the end they were Jennifer Aniston, Rachel was like, "Hey man, I know that you picked this up in Europe and like this is your new thing of kissing every woman goodbye, but I'm not a fan of it and you need to stop." And he's like, "Oh, I hear you. Sorry about that." But like the fact that he like had to problem solve, and there's like so much of this like weird, I felt like it was like a really good group dynamic in general of like showing these like friends who are just like calling each other out on their bullshit and also like playing all these like doing this. And then there's also like the secret love, you know, that's always happening throughout this whole series. So I felt like that was like a pretty great embodiment of that.
Yeah.
I think we're narrowing down on the right answer, which is my answer.
Yeah, I think
because it's the one where everybody finds out.
Yeah.
The one
my
where
eyes.
It has one of the funniest moments of the show. We have Chandler kissing people who aren't Monica. We have this whole thing where Phoebe and Rachel find out that Chandler and Monica are doing it, and maybe a little bit more. And they know, but Chandler and Monica don't know they know. And then Chandler and Monica find out, and then they don't know. They know, they know, they
don't
know.
Yeah, we know.
And
they
we have
know,
like.
They know.
Very.
We have the inception of they know, but we don't know.
And Joey
we don't
just
know,
wants
know,
everybody
know.
To know.
And Joey just wants the heart of the show. Joey just wants everyone to find out so he can go back to not thinking and eating sandwiches.
Truly the best communicator. He is the best communicator of all of them. He's like, "Hey guys, we just need to talk to each other. And even if people don't like it, okay then."
Yeah. They think they can mess with us. They want to mess with us. It's so good.
Yeah, you're right.
And Phoebe is now putting on this ruse that she's really sexually interested in Chandler to get him to admit that
when
he's
she
with
dances.
My, yeah.
She does
and it,
this. She does this.
She
weird
does this arm flail. Oh, I love it.
I think it's good. I think it's got all the friends. It's got all the friends. It's got the naked fella.
The ugly naked guy.
Ugly naked guy.
I always thought, until I watched a lot of Friends this weekend, that the ugly naked guy was across the street. He's just like one or two buildings over, and there's like some separation between
the
buildings.
Building.
I thought it was
the
facing window, right?
Or it might even be the same building, and it's just sort of maybe U-shaped, and it's...
Here,
and,
there's a courtyard in the middle. I always thought it was that there wasn't a street in between the two buildings. It was just the next building over, and maybe there was, like, an alley or a walkway or something that gave enough of
a short bodega.
Yeah.
One or two-story building.
But they always did kind of have to, like, really look and squint. So it gave me, like, there was a sense of, like, it was down below.
But they could reach it with a bunch of chopsticks taped together.
Right. Mm. To poke, yeah. Oh, so it's got to be a small alleyway.
I'm going to say 10 feet.
Get your rules right, Friends. Show.
I just love, that is a great episode. And it you get to the heart of everybody's kind of character, like how they deal with this, right? So you get to see, like, Joey just wants everybody to know and everybody to be on the same page. Yeah.
Everybody's philosophy is very clear.
Monica wants to win. Chandler doesn't quite understand why, but he's going along with it. You know, Monica... Or Rachel and Phoebe are just want to fuck with them. Like, that's just their big, and they want her to, until they finally tell the truth. The moment where Chandler goes to touch Phoebe's boob and then, like, puts his hand up onto her shoulder is, like, amazing. And then he's afraid of bras. He can't work them. And Joey just, like, runs his finger over the front of her shirt and it just pops.
And she goes, "He didn't even pop a button.
Not my first time." It's good. It's a good episode. Yeah. I think that,
you're
right.
I think I agree. It plays to all their philosophies. It definitely, we know, like, this is the ultimate them.
Yes. The ultimate them.
This was an easy one, guys.
Yeah.
And then at the end, Ross kind of, like, embarrasses himself.
No, get off my sister.
Yeah, that's like it's a good thing because it ends the you know, we get the like created by or sorry, executive producers like a little title card and like, oh, this is the end of the episode and Ross doesn't know yet, and we get the post credit sequence of Ross finally beginning to move into the fat naked guy's apartment. And then he screams, "Don't get your hands off my sister," which is like just
with
such
his
a
boss,
rock.
Yeah. Who he just said, like, yeah. "I'm really excited to get back to work. My anger is under control."
Yeah.
That's the best. Actually, the episode after that is really great, too. The beginning where he like runs around and he comes and he goes to like get. And Chandler's like, "I've had a good run. Like, OK, bye. Like, because he's going to murder me." And then it was like, "We didn't tell you. Why didn't you tell me?" "Well, because we were worried about, you know, what you thought." And he was like, "You were worried about me?" And then, like, he, because he's still so, like, mentally unstable at that point. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
I think Ross gets a short shrift. I think people, like, don't like Ross. And then David Schwimmer, like, is casting things a lot because, like, you're supposed to not like him. Initially, I rewatched Band of Brothers recently with my girlfriend who had never seen it. And Ross is David Schwimmer's in the first episode as this really unlikable drill sergeant who really he's only in the first episode and it kind of comes up one or two episodes later. And it's like you need to bring in an actor who you immediately can tell is like a weenie and you don't really like him. Oh. And this is 2001 or whenever they made it. And they brought in David Schwimmer and the rest of the actors in the series are you don't even know who they are. But I think he is incredible on the show. He gives such a physical – he's like the best physical comedian of all of them. He's just so great.
And him when they're in the – when he has to hide from Bruce Willis in the cabin and the door closes and he like sinks to the ground like a noodle and then slides under the bed. Like that's his physicality. I liked him best at the end of the show where he was so ridiculous and – just a goober and a like just what I the beginning of the show I have a really hard time with Ross. There's a whole series of episodes between when she starts working at Bloomingdale's and then after they break up that I can't watch because he is so possessive and so shitty to her that like I can't it like makes me angry so I don't watch it because I hate he's such a sniveling fucking weasel.
I think they may have realized after
yeah, they're point. Like, we gotta tone
they're
him
like,
down.
This guy is not somebody anybody's gonna root for.
Oh, should we tone down the gay jokes?
No.
Okay.
lean harder, guys.
Lean into the gay panic harder.
So that's great. So is it? Are we deciding?
I gotta agree with you. I think that like embodies the series.
Yeah, fair. I agree.
Good. It's decided.
You win.
No, nobody wins.
There's no win.
Nobody wins.
We're all figuring this out together.
It's going to be different. You know, this is the first episode of the show. It's going to be different every time. You know, we're gonna try and bring in a guest each time who really knows and loves the series. And we thank you, Katie, for coming in.
Thanks.
But sometimes it's going to be a week where I haven't really seen the show other than, you know, just a handful of great episodes in prep for the show. Sometimes Carmen will not have seen it. Sometimes
there's
both of us. And we're going to completely rely on the guests.
We might also just not agree on the best.
Yeah.
That might happen.
So,
and that's okay.
You know,
let's be easy on ourselves.
TV is like really personal to people. So we're not trying to offend people, and sure, just yell at us online. That's fine. But we're gonna figure this all out together. It's gonna be different each week, and each show is its own monster. Where we have a sitcom like this, and then we'll move to Breaking Bad, which is like an intricate timepiece of pressure and magnets and stuff. And you know, so it's just gonna be different every time. Anything else you guys want to talk about for this episode?
I love Friends.
I'd love to actually know. This is a real quick question.
Yeah.
What do you think it means to you, Katie, as like a huge fan? Like, what do you think like makes your heart melt for Friends? Because clearly this means a ton to you.
I just think part of it is just it happened to be the show. I was part of the whole wave of like, I don't know when it came in, 94. Mm-hmm. So I was 6 when it started. But I watched it from, I think, pretty much from the beginning, probably second season in.
Oh, wow.
And I watched reruns on TBS. You know, but like it was just always a part of like, I remember watching season finales like on, you know, in my mom's bedroom, like live or not live, but like watching it as it's happening, you know. And so much of my humor and my like the way I pace jokes and some like delivery in performance, I know is because of what I saw on Friends, you know, like that it's a shorthand of language from my mother and I. Mm-hmm. She calls me before every job interview and goes, good luck, we all wish you good luck. We say, I know, on a regular basis to each other. You know, it's just like a part, such a part of my life that it's part of my identity.
Yeah. I just love to know, because when you're a fan, there's got to be a good, some good, like, some heartstrings that tugged.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got him host wings.
Katie, where can we find you on internet?
Oh, you can find me at Twitter, or on Twitter, at K-A-W-I-L-L-E-R-T. That's K-A Willard. And it's the same on Instagram. And
cool.
That's where I'm at.
Thank you so much for helping us figure this out.
Thank
you.
Thanks for having me.
Really appreciate it, Carmen. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Great.
Yay!
Yay! Friends!